Okay.
Exodus chapter 20.
I learned something last week that I never knew before. And I referred to some number, and Brenda comes up to me and asks me, says, "That's not the right number." Well, lo and behold, I never knew this. Never had heard this in my life. But the Catholics omit the bowing down to idols, and they divide the last one into don't covet your neighbor's wife and don't cover your neighbor's goods. They make that as 9 and 10. So this was information to me that I'd never heard. And so she was confused what brought it up, says, "That's not number whichever it was, number 5 or whatever." And so of course, we're the ones that put the numbers on them. And I realize that it might be a little confusing on some of those as far as the division of it. I've always struggled with that first section where it's talking about no other gods before me, don't make any graven images, and don't bow down to them, and then don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And so I've always struggled with that little division myself, but I never realized that there was any other listing out there. But it kind of, so at any rate, so I just thought I would throw that out there. But I learn something new all the time. And guys, I think this is something that we've got to remember. We're here to learn. We need to come to God's Word with an open mind to look at what it says. We need to come to God's Word with a humble mind to give in to what it says. And so I don't really think it matters how we number these. Number one, this was the law for the Old Testament. Now, as we're studying these, we're noticing that so far, all of these can be found in the New Testament as the law that Christ has given, except for the Sabbath. The Sabbath is not mentioned in the New Testament as a command. And so, you know, it's a misnomer that people want to say, you know, we live by the Ten Commandments. We don't. If you're living by the Ten Commandments, you're going to be lost, and there's no way you'll ever make it to heaven. Okay? But all of those are repeated in the New, except the Sabbath keeping. Now, people a lot of times don't understand the Sabbath and say they say that Sunday is a Sabbath. No, Sabbath means seventh, and that was Saturday. And so there's a misnomer there and a misunderstanding. And it really just takes a little study. And so we've got to make sure that we're concerned enough to study and learn. Okay? And then we've got to make sure we're humble enough to change when we find that we're not what we should be. So, yes, Kenneth?
In other words, then we're not supposed to work on Saturday then.
That was under the old law.
Yeah.
In other words, under the old law, anybody that did servile work, there's a place I think in Deuteronomy it calls it servile work. In other words, if you went to the field on Saturday, you'd be stoned. You can't go gather wood to fix supper. You got to do that on Friday. You know, because that one man that was stoned, we studied that 2 weeks ago, I believe. But that was the Old Testament. And so now the only relationship we see between that command and the New Testament law is absolutely none. The only Sabbath that we see in the New Testament is when we die. And that's when the Sabbath rest for the Christian is. Now, we spent a lot of time talking about the, you know, Bob, me and Bob have spent a lot of time. We talked about this publicly already, but he just will not work on Sunday, and I'll support him on that, but not as a cue to go to heaven. Okay, that's not what it says. Now, if you choose to work and miss the Lord's the worship, that's a problem. That doesn't mean we got a lot of jobs. You can't do anything about it. Okay. And so I've always tried to avoid those. I've had a couple over the years early on as a teenager. But once I got out of high school, I didn't have that anymore, except once. And they threatened to fire me if I didn't show up on Sunday. But they let me leave clock out and go to worship, and then come back and clock back in. So that worked out pretty good. So at any rate, so we see that difference. Everything else that's found within these Ten Commandments, other than Sabbath keeping, we're going to find a parallel to that in the new that Jesus commands. And so that's one thing we need to keep in mind. So, all right, so we looked at honor your father and mother on verse 12. And we noted there that is the first commandment with promise. All right. In other words, the promise is obey, and it gives you good life. You know, and I don't know, hope you don't mind me using Ann. We pray about her a lot. She's not following, and it's creating a lot of problems in life. And so we're struggling in prayer and as we talk with her to try to help her to make some changes, because mom and dad would say, let's change your life. Okay. And that'd be honoring mother and father. And so, you know, when we disobey and we go against that rule, it's a bad situation. And so, so we've got to keep that in mind. So we need to have that honor. Now, in the New Testament, let's go. I don't think we looked at 1 Timothy chapter 5. I wanted to, but I think we got cut off before we got there, ran out of time. And so I would like to go ahead and look at that real quick, because when we look at honoring mother and father, it's not just as a kid when you're growing up. It continues on through life. And so this passage is talking about taking care of parents when they are older. And so somebody begin reading. Well, in verse 1, and let's go down through 8 at least, and I think that'll get what we need. So,
in chapter 5?
Yes, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 through 8.
Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed, but if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to shew piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge, that they may be blameless. But if any provides not for his own, and specially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel.
Okay, so now notice here, it talks earlier in this section about honor widows that are widows indeed. And so notice here, it's talking about family taking care of family, is what it's saying. But the thing that I want to pull from this is that honor is more than just showing respect when we're young. It's a lifelong thing that we do, and when our parents get older, we have the responsibility to take care of them. That's our job. And so I think that it's important we remember that. Now, there's different things that we can and are able to do. You know, in my case, my mother lives over 1,000 miles away. And the only way that I offered for her to come when it was at that point where she was going to not live on her own. She did not want to come to Iowa or Missouri, the last place in the world she wanted to be. And so I would certainly make sure that any need that she has is taken care of, you know, and irrespecting of what the other five would do, I think that they will probably do the same. But by the same token, I would take her into my house if that's what it took, but she wouldn't give in. Never would when she was able. Now she's not able. So, but we need to take care of our parents. Okay? That's just the way it is.
Yeah, whenever I was a kid, just about every house or all the neighbors,
yep,
most of them had a grandpa or a grandma living with them. We was the
that's right.
We was kind of odd ones out because we didn't have.
Yep. I grew up, we took care of my grandmother, and I... We had other siblings of my father's. They would pull the blinds and act like they weren't home. And they were kind of in like a little grandparents' house in behind their house, and we lived two doors down. And so I was the one, and my parents were the ones that took care of her. And so when we had even neighbors that didn't have anybody to take care of them, we ended up taking them into our home and taking care of them after we'd taken care of them for years in their own home. We grew up doing those things. I grew up with older people in the house, taking care of their needs. And I get along with older people. I can relate with somebody older just as easy as I can with somebody young, because I grew up doing that.
But there wasn't no nursing homes then. The only thing they had was county homes
then. Yep.
And, you know, boy, that's, nobody wanted to go to the county home.
No, yeah. No. And that's kind of out of my world because, you know, I grew up in the nursing home era. And I don't think that those county homes were the best of places.
But they said, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Were those are the people, were they the mentally ill were at then or something? Or
well,
no?
I think it was all mixed together then. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
had it was all mixed together.
But anyway, the county home, boy, that was the last place you wanted to go. I mean, yeah.
I know the county home here wasn't a very good place to go.
Really?
It was not a good place to go.
Yeah. Until about 84,
yeah,
then it changed.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Hey, I was just saying, you're right about the middle ages. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are you talking about the Jasper County Care Facility that was out here?
Yeah,
that used to be the county home.
And I started working there about 84. And that's when
it got better, though. Yeah, it did. About the 80s, the state stepped in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It seemed like in the 50s, there might be one small nursing home in a town. Average size town.
Yeah. And you know, nowadays our life has changed. Back then we lived on farm. And so you were home. Nowadays we've got, everybody's decided it takes two incomes to survive. And so there'd be nobody home to take care of them. You know, I really don't agree that it takes two incomes. It may be tough. But that's beside the point. But the fact of the matter is, our society, we're not home to take care of somebody. Now, right or wrong, that's just the way our society is right now. And so it is a challenge, I know. But whether it's making sure they're properly cared for in professional facilities, which, you know, with an Alzheimer's patient, man, it'd be tough to do that in your home.
You can't do it in your home. You need three or four people.
You would have to have inside locks and round the clock care.
You can't lock people in because if the house catches on fire, then
they're burned up. That's right. And so, but you don't lock them in, and they wander out and freeze to death. And so, but at any rate, it is what it is. And the point being this. We need to do what we can to take care of our parents. This is a society we live in. We need to make sure we do what we can in the society in which we live. The Bible was written for all times. Okay? And it's kind of neat to see the wisdom of God's Word. It doesn't matter which era or which society you live in, you can follow this command. Does that make sense? It doesn't say you have to keep them in your home. Okay, it says you got to honor them and take care of them in some way. You got to make sure they're seen to their needs. And so whatever that may involve, but that shows the wisdom of God's word, how it is good for all times and all ages and all societies. And so I appreciate that. But at any rate, okay, so back to Exodus. Now, this next verse is, the King James really does not translate it well. Somebody read it.
Where are we at? Exodus
20 and verse 13.
Thou shalt not kill.
Thou shalt not kill. So what would be wrong with that?
People bring up the war all the time.
Yeah.
Murder is more.
Yeah. But murder is actually the Hebrew word. I didn't look it up because I didn't feel it was necessary for our subject, for now. But under the Old Testament law, there were some real strict guidelines about, okay, you got a dead body and you got two people that they have a dispute and one kills the other. And so there's times that they're held accountable and there are times that it's not a serious offense. Okay. And so the idea was, as you look at those, is premeditated. All right. There's accidental killings. Okay. You know, where, you know, they're slinging an axe and the head comes off the axe and hits somebody in the head and kills them. He killed him, but he didn't murder him. Okay. And so that's the point. And that's what we need to keep in mind. This was an intentional killing of another human being. And that's what the command says. As we go through Exodus and Leviticus, we'll see some of those finer points. We'll read through some of those details that are actually explaining the Ten Commandments. All right, these Ten Commandments are, give you an overview, just a quick glimpse, but then it broken down later. And it's shown a little bit more detail what all that means. Elisa?
Oh, I was going to... This is something a long time ago that I remember. We talk about people that would gossip. And if that's, in a way, killing a person.
Well, and okay, so let's go to the New Testament here. So we're going to go to 1 John. Okay. Should have looked this one up ahead of time. I got in trouble.
First John?
I think so. I've got to double check it. Okay. All right. First John, 3:15. It talks about it, chapter 2, and that's where I was looking for it. It's chapter 2. So 1 John chapter 3 and verse 15.
Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him.
Okay. So as we look at that passage, a couple things to look at. No, not St. John, not the gospel. 1 John. 1 John, I'm sorry. Yep, almost Revelation. So, you know, the thing is that the Bible teaches to love. This passage is written, and it helps us to understand the importance of loving each other. Okay? We've got to remember that we have a responsibility to not hate somebody, okay? Once in a while, I've come across an individual that's a little hard to get along with, and I set about to try to find a way to resolve it and be happy, okay? I don't like unhappy feelings, and I don't like to have antagonistic emotions against somebody. And so I set out, anytime that might happen, to try to figure a way to solve it and bring it to a proper, congenial, loving relationship. Because according to Christ, if I hate my brother, what have I done?
Hate myself.
No. I mean, that's true. I'm a murderer. All right. Now, according to Jesus, does a murderer hath eternal life abiding in them? So is it a sin in the New Testament to murder? Same as the Old Testament, right? Okay. Not the same? No, there's a little difference. Talk to us, Tim.
How does he equate hate with murder? You hate them, you murder.
Well, and in your heart, you've already murdered them according to Christ. And that's And that's why we've got to be careful of this hate emotion. It's easy to crop up. How many of you ever been hurt by somebody, okay, where it was tough to get over, okay? I've been involved in it. I've seen it. I've talked with many people that have some of the most atrocious things to overcome that you can imagine. And I have to say, you got to find a way to move on. You got to let it go, because who's it going to destroy? It destroys you. Mm-hmm. It destroys you. It destroys your soul. You know, let's add another one. Do you want to go it now, and then I'll bring it up in a minute?
Yeah. You keep mentioning that the Ten Commandments are found all but the Sabbath in the New Testament.
Kind of a repeat.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to say how to say that, but yeah, go ahead.
No. But what you haven't pointed out and what you haven't said, if you want to be quite honest, as you look at the New Testament translations, we have it tougher.
Because of the motion, you're talking about the heart on that?
You know,
where are you coming
from?
The
Jewish nation says, do not murder.
Yeah.
Okay? And you'll find in Leviticus that, you know, there's ways around that, blah, blah, this, and blah, blah, that. But then we get to the New Testament, and you read 1 John, but if you read Matthew, Matthew 5, starting at verse 21, is that where you're going next? Okay. Well, Matthew 5, all those match up a little bit. But
yeah, there's several there, and then you get into chapter 6.
Yeah.
Chapter 6 is a tough one. So go ahead. So let's go to Matthew 5. Go ahead and bring into that. Let's get there first. Let everybody get there.
Matthew 5, verse 21, starting at 21. And I will tell you that I'm guilty of breaking this law today. And I'll explain after everyone gets there. Everyone ready? I'm reading from the New King James, but you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. That's the old Ten Commandment.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you, and this is Jesus talking, that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council.
Raca means empty-headed.
Okay.
Incidentally.
But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of the fire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. What I want to point out is I called somebody an idiot today. And according to that passage,
Raca.
Empty-headed, Raca, or you fool, those all come together.
Yep.
I called someone an idiot today. Point blank. That passage tells me I messed up.
You sinned.
But the thing is, it says, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause.
Yeah, what kind of cause? What do you
So if that brother
as a cause.
Is at fault, and that's the cause of your anger.
Okay.
Isn't it okay to be angry with them if you have a just cause to be that way?
Oh boy.
Let's say that you have a stupid brother-in-law that won't quit smoking and kills your sister. I have a just cause to dislike him intensely.
Oh boy.
Shall we go to Ephesians 4? Where are you heading now?
That's what Ephesians
4. No, Ephesians 4 would probably be good. Ephesians 4 would probably be good.
Do you understand what I'm saying? That it says...
Okay, the problem...
There's a council...
Without a cause. If you're angry at them without a cause, but if they give you a cause to be angry at them...
But... Yeah, I think Ephesians 4 would probably explain a little bit. But,
and also Matthew 6.
Yeah. But we'll what I want to tell you is, as humans, we tend to want to get as close to the line as possible on some things. I have a reason to be mad at you. Excuse me? You're sitting over there going, that has got to be the silliest thing I've ever heard, but it's my reason, and I have a just cause to be mad at him. Uh-uh. That's not what the Bible is saying. Okay, the Bible is saying there are times, and the Bible also talks about don't let the sun go down on your wrath and blah, blah, blah.
The wrath of man works not the righteousness of God.
So God knows we're going to lose our temper. All right, it happens. God knows we will. All right, even Jesus lost his temper. And he had a just cause for losing his temper. He chased the money changers out of the Lord's temple. He lost his temper. He got mad. So where do we draw the line about what's a just cause? Be careful is all I'm saying. Be careful.
So help me with this.
I don't have an answer for I don't have an answer for
you. This doofus in your family who goes to the doctor, your sister, and the doctor says she should never smoke or be around smokers. And he sits across the table and blows smoke across the table at her. That's exactly what he did.
This is the way that I would have to answer that.
I mean, it's...
It says that we are to forgive as Christ has forgiven. Did those thieves, or not the thieves, but did those soldiers that hammered the nails in his hands and feet, did they do it intentionally?
Oh, yeah.
And Jesus said what? Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do.
He didn't know what he was doing.
Those soldiers knew what they were doing. They just didn't know it was the Son of God. They knew they were crucifying him.
My cherished sister.
Well... But see, and this is the thing. The thing I think that, as I see, there's a lot of pieces to this puzzle, and you're not alone. Okay, all of us we understand that. We've got to bring all of these other pieces in to really get a full picture. You know, we look at. Go to Matthew 6.
This while I'm saying it.
Okay.
I don't think that he actually killed her. I think he shortened her life.
He didn't care about her.
She,
yes.
She was the one smoking, and she's the one that, you know, had that responsibility. But he shortened her life because he wanted to be free of her.
Yeah. But believe me, he'll get his.
See, that's it. What goes around comes around.
Mm-hmm. So let's go, but see, and this is where we've got to look at the part of the law that we need to understand is God's trying to protect us from ourselves as well as everything else. So Matthew 6 and verse 15, read that.
And as I was reading this today, though, the Raca,
Raca is empty-headed. In other words, if I say, you're stupid, I've called you Raca, that's Raca, I've called you empty-headed. I don't have that right.
How do you know that word?
Well, you look up the definition of the word. I mean, I can...
Because I was reading this today, I thought, Raca, what is Raca?
Yeah, I'll look it up for you here real quick.
That was one of my questions for tonight, is what is Raca?
See, 5...
I've never heard of Raca.
22. Okay, so...
I've never even heard that term.
Yeah, let me give you the definition of the word.
Okay.
Raca. It is empty, that is, a senseless, empty-headed man, a term of reproach used among the Jews in the time of Christ. So it's like we say, you stupid. It's the same thing. Hmm. We're calling them empty-headed. And that's wrong. That's wrong. We cannot, as Christians, do that. Have we all been guilty of it?
Oh, yeah.
I've been guilty of it. And that's why I have gotten so careful about every word, and I've just tried to say yes and no, okay? I want to stay away from that because, quite frankly, do I want the Lord to be patient with me?
He's probably calling me Raca right now.
You know, and so I'm wanting the Lord to be patient with me. Am I any different than you?
No.
I am not a bit of different than you. So how could I call you stupid when I'm not being patient with you and just understanding you're at a different place? Maybe you don't understand some detail that I do. And you know, does that make you stupid? No. You understand a lot of details that I don't understand. And I think that's where a lot of us are at a different place. And that's where we need to have a long-suffering and the patience. Let me tell you something. God's long-suffering. And also, I tell you what. God doesn't want us to have the terrible weight of hate on our shoulders all of our life. And I think that's part of what we're talking about here. Okay? God's trying to free us up. This is all a law of liberty. You want to be free of your hate? Read verse Matthew 6 and verse 15. Now, this is tough because it means you don't get skin. Okay? Matthew 6, 15.
But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses.
Now, how tough is that when you've been wrong? How hard is that when you've been wrong?
I just forgive, but I just disdain horribly.
But
we're disdaining.
Well, I really think that.
But I'm going to go back to something you said.
Okay.
And my wife has asked me a couple times how I do it, because I tend to let a lot of things roll off my shoulders. You get your 15 minutes of fame with me. All right, and then it rolls off my shoulders and it's gone. And there's one person in her life, past life, that she has never been able to forgive, and she is struggling with that, and I'm working her through the process of doing that. I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm going to tell you right now, that the other person could care less how you feel.
That's exactly right.
What you think, or how much you think you
hate them. That's exactly right.
They could care less.
Yep.
They could care less. The only person that's hurting is you.
And Christ.
I'm trying to develop that same feeling towards him.
Well, and seeing, to me, Brenda, that's the key.
You said you're trying.
Pray for him.
As a Christian, if we're trying.
So
that's what you got to keep in mind. You know, we've all suffered some things that are insurmountable. Okay? Some of the stories that I've heard over the years, I'm so glad that I don't have anything in comparison to forgive. And I guarantee you that I could probably top your all stories. Okay, with the things that I've heard. And I've had to teach them the same thing. Jesus says to forgive, because you're destroying yourself. You're destroying your soul. You're destroying your happiness. You're destroying everything by your hate and harboring of these emotions and these feelings against that individual that hurts you. They don't care. But you're the one that suffers. I'm the one that suffers. And I've had some things to forgive. And until I learned to forgive, I was not happy and not able to be happy. Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you're not going to be forgiven. So what happens if you're not forgiven? You're not going to go to heaven. Okay, so this is serious business. And it's not that we're trying to say, oh, well, it's okay that bad things happen. No, that's not okay. But I guarantee you that if you look at the bad things that's happened in your life and you go at it from the Bible standpoint, you'll be able to see a lot of good come out of those bad things. I look at some of the miserable things that happened to my life, and you know what? It's made me a better person. I hated. But it took me a few years to get through it and let it go. And now I'm free. I've been set free. You just hang in there. I love you guys. This is a wonderful class. I enjoy the time.
Oh,
you have something?
I just want to mention that stupid is such a big throw-around word. Using it right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just an everyday deal, this kid.
Terrible, though.
Yeah.
I mean,
Yep. And that's why I really believe that we have got to make sure that we stay totally away from those words about demeaning another's character or intelligence. God condemns it. And we need to leave it out. And just be a loving and kind with those that we come into contact with. We'll be happier. And you know what? Heap coals of fire on their head. I love you guys. Good class.